stay around and eat. A lot of you know that the pastors went off, and our wives went off on a retreat over the last week, and we were gone and had a good time, a great time together, and Damian Broussard went with us. It was good. God really used that time, I thought, to help me anyway, and so I really praise the Lord for that. And you know that I've been in the middle of the series about the Great Commandment. I'm going to take a break today since I was gone all week, and I'll continue that next Sunday. Not long ago, I was at an Encounter God's Presence retreat, and at that retreat, I got close to a young man named Ronnie Gonzalez. I mean, we were in the same building together. We were teaching together. We didn't have a whole lot of time to interact that night. But Ronnie and I talked over email, and then we got together, and we sat down, and we talked. And when I do that with somebody, I'm just really trying to feel out where they are. Where's their heart? You know, are they a self-promoter? Are they a God promoter? Are they, you know, what are they? And as Ronnie and I sat there and talked, I could see that Ronnie really had a heart to see God glorified. Now, Ronnie is an evangelist. That's what he told me. He said, "Man, I'm an evangelist." And I said, "Well, praise God. That's good. We need that." And Ronnie has preached all around the world. God has opened doors for him. I watched some of the videos, Ronnie, really touched my heart of the altar calls and seeing the people respond all around the world. I mean, I watched your crusade in India. That was just an amazing, amazing crusade there that and God did great and mighty things, and I was really touched by that. And Ronnie, he also goes out and ministers to the homeless right here in our own city. He has a ministry called Faith, Hope, and Love Outreach. And he goes out, and he's got a truck that turns into a stage. And Ronnie can go out, and he can open the back of the truck up. It turns into a stage, and he preaches to the homeless here. And I so appreciate his heart to see people one to the Lord. And so this morning, I asked Ronnie. I said, "Ronnie, can you come and speak to us?" And he said, I would be glad to. So Ronnie Gonzalez, Ronnie, come on up and just share what the Lord's laid on your heart. Thank you for being here, Ronnie.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, why don't y'all stand one more time? You're going to have plenty of opportunity to sit. Amen. And let's just raise up our hands unto God because God is good. Amen? Amen? Father God, we just give you glory, honor, and praise in this place today. We thank you for the opportunity to gather together in your name. I pray that, Father, that as we have gathered, Lord, we've come with expectancy here today. And Lord, I pray you would meet us at the point of our expectancy and that you would do only that which you can do. I pray that, Father, that your hand of healing would reign in this place. That everyone who needs a fresh touch of God, everybody would leave different than how they came. And if you're in agreement with that, why don't you just shout amen. 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 Go ahead and give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Glory. Glory. Amen. You may say, why is that guy so excited? You can be seated. You can be seated. You may say, why has he got to use his volume? Why do they shout so much or whatever? Well, if you have gone through what I've been through, and if the Lord had delivered you from what he's brought us out of, hello, somebody. See, some of y'all have been good all of your lives, but then some of us messed up along the way, and the Lord had to clean us up. And so our praise is just filled with a little bit more gratitude. Amen. Not that we're any better. We just like to shout a little bit more. Amen? On top of that, I'm Hispanic, and we tend to be a little bit more animated as it is. So, and on top of that, I'm anointed on top of that. So throw all that together, and here we go today. Amen? I want to just first off say thank you so much, pastors. I appreciate the opportunity to be here with you today. I've been looking forward to this. You got such a great, great church. You can tell when a church really has a spirit of excellence here, and you have that, and that's just such a wonderful thing. You guys are blessed to be here. Did y'all know that? You guys are such blessed. Yeah, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Hallelujah. As I go, before I go any further, you know, the thing that pastors' wives don't like doing is standing up and acknowledging everyone, but everybody does it, and so I have to ask my wife over here. Her name is Seth Gonzalez. Why don't you stand up here, honey? Because you might see her. Give her a round of applause, everyone. You might see her taking some pictures over there. That's my little hot tamale right there, too, okay? So as of last month, we've been married together 16 years. Amen. Amen. Marriage works, guys. Marriage is a good thing. Amen. Don't let the world tell you anything different. Amen. You might see her taking a few pictures here because we do put some of our things on our websites, which is rgministries.com, and then we have a Facebook page, too, at Ronnie Gonzalez Ministries. Don't go on there right now, but check it out later. Amen. So it'll be a blessing to you. This day has been ordained by God, I believe. I believe you are not here by accident or coincidence. Amen. As the pastor was explaining a little bit about what we do, let me just tell you before we get into the word. We go to different places all over the world where the gospel is most needed. And people have the misconception that just because we live in the satellite age, in the internet age, that everybody has heard the gospel. But not everybody has access to satellite. Not everybody has internet access. I know some of you millennials can't understand what it's like to be without Wi-Fi. That's like really roughing it, right? To be in a hotel with no Wi-Fi or a place with no Wi-Fi. But there are some places out there with no Wi-Fi, if you can imagine. And those are the places that we go to in India, in Africa. We just got back last month from Zimbabwe with amazing, amazing crusade. Amazing crusade. The month before that, it was in Ethiopia where we have 40,000 people a night come and hear the gospel. And we don't go into the capital cities, like flying into Ethiopia. Capital city would be Addis Ababa. Man, that'd be great to be there and just stay there in Addis, and that'd be a little bit more comfortable. But you took a 10-hour off-road ride into the villages there where there is not all the comforts of the capital city, and there's where we preach. And so to just see the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I tell you what, light shines brightest in darkness. And one thing I know about the Word of God is that no matter where it is preached, signs always follow. See, that's the difference between our God and the gods of all these other religions that all these other countries have, is our God is actually alive. Amen. I preach that in India. Every time we go to India, we've had about 7 or 8 crusades there in India, in rural areas. And when you go to India, seeing a Hindu temple is just as common as seeing a Baptist church here in Fort Worth. I mean, they're just everywhere. So it's no big deal. And when you're driving by in the streets of India, you know, it's not uncommon to see the temple there and somebody guarding, you know, standing guard of the temple or whatever. And, you know, one time I asked somebody there, why is that? Why do y'all have a guard there? Why is somebody there on guard and holding the little idol, you know, in his arms there and what have you? And translator told me, well, that's so that no one steals the idol. No one steals God. And I thought, how weird is it that we have to worry about God being stolen? I'm so glad I don't have to protect my God. My God protects me. Amen. Nobody gonna be stealing my God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so when we preach in India, I say, here you have all of these thousands of gods. But here's the difference. My Jesus actually confirms his word with signs following. And if you do not see signs, if you do not see healings, miracles, if you do not see manifestations of the Holy Spirit, then you have my permission to take me out of your village, stone me, do whatever you want to do to me because I'm a false prophet. I will have you to know that I have not been thrown out or stoned one time. Amen. Because God is faithful and he always shows up and he always confirms his word. Amen. And if he confirms it in India, I'm sure he can do something in Benbrook. Hello, somebody. So does somebody need a touch from God here today? Amen. Well, if you don't, then you don't. Don't lie about it. Amen. You won't get it anyways. But if you do, I want you to know you're in a place here where we actually believe that our God is alive here today. Amen? Amen? I'm going to get into the Word of God here in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 is where we're going to go. And I want to try to just make full use of my time here. I try to leave as much time as I can. You know, we're going to preach until I just feel to go otherwise. You know, a lot of times I'll just prepare you ahead of time. Sometimes we'll just start calling people who need healing. You know, when I was last month, I was preaching down in South Texas, and while I was preaching, Lord just started giving me words of knowledge of people that had tumors, people who had some issues in their legs and what have you. And while the word was going forth, things were happening. And so after the service, we started receiving testimonies. And we got the testimonies that while the service was going on, that's when the tumors were disappearing in people in the crowd. So if we give out a word, just receive it. Amen. Amen. So we'll just start here and see where we finish. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 1. And I normally read out of the King Jimmy, but today I am going to, I'm going to go on to the New Living Translation just for this portion of Scripture here. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 1. This is my second letter to you, dear friends, and in both of them I have tried to stimulate your wholesome thinking and refresh your memory. I want you to remember what the holy prophet said long ago, or what our Lord and Savior commanded through your apostles. Most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days, scoffers will come, mocking the truth and following their own desires. They will say, "What happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again?" From before the times of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world was first created. I believe wholeheartedly that we are living in the days that Peter talked about, where we have scoffers. I mean, it's so cool. It is so trendy right now to mock Christians and to mock the Christian faith. You can't do what you do to Christians to Muslims. Hello? Oh, no, you can't do that. You can't do that to any other people group, but Christians seem to be fair game for some reason. I believe wholeheartedly, though, that this is the time, this is the age right now where Peter was talking about, that in the last days, scoffers will say, "Well, where is he? Where is he? We've been hearing time and time again, your Jesus is coming, your Jesus is coming." In 1988, I remember 88 reasons why the Lord is going to return. Y2K, I remember no one's going to survive the big bank crashing of Y2K. You know, I just remember there time and time again, and he's still not here. What's the matter? Where's he at? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I want you to know something about this book here, okay? This book is one-third prophecy. That means here that God has always wanted us to know things ahead of time. See, this is what separates our faith from the religious books of other backgrounds here. No other book that they study could predict the future. And this book is literally filled with hundreds of prophecies that people wrote at various times, various locations, and yet somehow, some way, they seem to always get fulfilled. This is what's so amazing about this book. So prophecy and the spirit of prophecy is very much relevant to our faith. Amen. So it's not just an ordinary book. It is literally God-breathed, God-inspired, and it is God speaking to us. Can I get an amen? We got to establish that because we live in a world right now where there's great uncertainty. You know, we live in just chaos. Can I get an amen on that? It's an evil world out there, and it's just so much filled with uncertainty. But in these uncertain times, we can rest assured in the following things, okay? Some things still ring true. Well, number one, the Word of God still has power. Amen. The Word of God still has power. Number two, Jesus still saves. Number three, Jesus still heals. And number four, and I know I'm in the minority in believing this and saying this and preaching this, but number four, Jesus is coming back again soon. He's coming back. And I know we don't preach it. I know we don't talk about it because nowadays our culture preaches and promotes all of these politically correct, little seeker-friendly, 20-minute inspirational nuggets of hope. Okay, I know that that's trendy. If you came to get that here today, I'm here to tell you, that's not me. Because I've been ordered, we've been ordered as ministers of the gospel to speak the truth in love. Amen. We're supposed to speak the truth. Not all of the truth is trendy. Not all of the truth makes you feel good. Sometimes the truth gets right in your face. You know, I know it's trendy right now for guys. Guys like them skinny jeans right now, okay? I know for whatever reason, Lord, I don't know why. For whatever reason, guys like skinny jeans right now. That may be trendy, but can I tell you the truth? Some of us guys are not built for skinny jeans. Some of us have a little extra junk in our trunk. Hello? And so, speaking the truth in love, you know, it's why it's good to have a wife that will say, hey, you know what? Maybe you think twice about those jeans. See, that's the truth. That's speaking truth in love. Not everybody is going to look good in those things. But we have been ordered here to speak the truth, no matter of the Word of God, no matter how it makes somebody feel, no matter if you agree with it, no matter if it's popular or not. Can I get an amen? Amen. We are called as preachers to be preachers first, not politicians. So I didn't come, y'all didn't get Reverend Feelgood here today, okay? As Pastor said, yes, I'm an evangelist. One of the things that happens with us evangelists, we comfort the disturbed, but we also disturb the comfortable. So if you're a little bit comfortable in your faith, I'm going to just rile you up a little bit. Amen. Amen. Some of you need to get rocked a little bit. Amen. Because here's what I'm talking about here today. I'm talking about living an eternity-driven life. An eternity-driven life. Now, we could easily do a full week of revival meetings on all of the signs and all of the prophecies that are literally being fulfilled in this day. We could take a full week and just going over all the signs. If you need some of them, I can just give you right off the top of my head. The rebirth of Israel, May 14th, 1948, 70 years ago. Israel becoming a sovereign nation once again after it had lost it in 70 AD. For all of this time, Jews have been scattered all over the face of the earth. And literally at the fulfillment of prophecy, it's reborn in a day. That's scriptural right there. That's prophecy coming to pass. Because Jesus said, the generation that sees that will see my return. That was only 70 years ago, folks. There is still that. So how long is a generation? Well, I don't know. I mean, my grandma, she's 83, and I know some people have people that are in their family that are in their 90s or what have you. All I can say, hey, anybody that tells you that they know the exact date, don't buy what they're selling. Amen? All we need to know is that it's very soon. Amen? If we're going to look at some other signs, let me show you this other sign right here that, you ever notice how we're going into a one world? There's a push right now to lead us into a one world globalist agenda, which is to lay the foundation for the Antichrist rule in the last day. See, this push by globalists here is to bring us under one economy, one currency, one military, one government, so that it eventually leads us to a one world religion. Bible talks about those days that will come to pass. And we got the technology for it now. See, people wondered way back then, how could that ever happen? You know, somebody taking a mark, you know, to buy or sell. Somebody taking a mark of the beast. Hey, it's out there right now. There are some companies there in California right now. I just saw the technology for it. You get an implant. They put a little chip under your hand, and you can't operate a fax machine or open doors or the copy machine without waving your hand. I mean, the mark is that technology, that's here. Even in rural Zimbabwe, all right, where I was a month ago, I can swipe my bank card at the gas station, and even in rural Zimbabwe, it will automatically connect with my bank here in Burleson just like that. We got the technology for all of these things right here, right now. And it's all lining up with prophetic scripture. We have this prophetic agenda that we are fulfilling right now. Need another sign? Bible says, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in those last days.
What did Noah have in his day that we don't have today? What marked Noah's days more than anything? Two things, violence and sexual immorality. I think we got plenty of those in spades here nowadays. People killing each other for no reason. People hating on one another for no reason. And the sexual immorality, I mean, for so many centuries, people knew which bathroom to use. And now, for some reason, we don't even know which bathroom we're going to use now. Hello, somebody. Did I tell you Reverend Feelgood wasn't here? I thought I'd tell you that, right? I know that this ain't going to make you jump and shout and dance, but I believe that I am here I'm not trying to gain a speaking engagement. I am here because this is a divine appointment for somebody. Time is short. This is what I want to get across to somebody, is that time is short. In these days, it is of the utmost importance that we live with a sense of eternity, because it is coming close. We are just about there, folks. And if I had a week, I'd tell you, like I said, we could do just a full week on the signs of his return. But I'm just going to jump fast forward to the next event in God's prophetic agenda, okay? I'm just going to go right to what's next. Some of us just like hitting the highlights. Well, let me tell you what's next. According to Scripture, the next thing coming up on God's prophetic agenda is the catching away or the rapture of his church. Amen. Because the Lord always first removes his people before judgment is poured out. He always takes his people out. Noah was safely in the ark with his family before any drop of water came down. Lot was escorted out by angels, given a personal escort before Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. See, God always first takes his people out. That is the blessed hope that we have as believers, is that we are in this world, but it's not our final destination. We are just passing through. Amen. We may look like we belong here. We may look like we are part of this, but we are aliens. We are foreigners just passing through. Man, I remember when my wife and I took a missions trip. We were going down. We got invited to go do a crusade in Mexico here in 2003, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm so excited about going to Mexico, you know, and speaking, preaching the gospel down there. Great, great, great time. Man, we just took it all in. I was discovering the culture, all the different places. I mean, it's close to Mexico City. Taking in the food. First place I ever saw green chorizo. Man, change your life, that green chorizo. Because we're here, we're used to red chorizo, but that's neither here or there. Amen. And so coming back, this was 2003, so 9/11 had just been fresh in everyone's mind. And so a little border security is getting a little bit tighter in those days. And so as we're, no problem getting there, but coming back now, coming back, well, you know, while I was down there, I'm practicing my Mexican accent. You know, I'm really nailing all my, yo soy Ronnie Gonzalez. It was Gonzalez. And when they're telling me here now that, how do we know that you are a United States citizen? Well, then that accent changed. I am Ronnie Gonzalez. I've enjoyed your tacos. Your mariachi music. Yes, it was very enlightening. I enjoyed it all. Wonderful, wonderful. Because he's now here. They're trying to tell me, how do we know that you don't belong over here? So I had to tell them, I may look like I belong over there in Mexico, but my citizenship is over here on this other side. See, some of you may look like you're part of this world, but your citizenship is not here in this world. Your citizenship is in heaven. Amen. That's where you're meant to be. That's where your final destination is. That's where you're going. That's the blessed hope that we have here as believers, is that we don't belong here. So let the world try to save the trees, hug the trees, save the planet, all those things that it wants to do. You want to know why they're so intent on doing it? Because this is the only world they're ever going to see. This is the only heaven they're going to see. So they're going to protect it with all they can. But baby, I am going. I am going higher. And so are some of you. I say some of you because I'm not so sure about some of you. Let me show you something here out of Scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 15. Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 4:15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." Some of y'all may say, "Why you shout so much?" Well, the Lord doesn't have a problem with it. Lord's coming back with a shout. Amen. He's coming back with a shout. Glory. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Some of you have grandparents. Some of you have uncles, family members that were believers that passed on in the Lord. Can I tell you what a glorious sight that's going to be? When you start seeing them coming back up, they're going higher. But then all of a sudden, check out what happens now. Verse number 17, because we aren't being left behind. Then we, somebody say we. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm going up. I don't know about you, but I'm going. I ain't ever been able to slam dunk a basketball. I mean, I'm Mexican. We don't grow past 5'7". I've never been able to slam dunk a basketball. And I know I'm a little bit hefty, but maybe one day there's going to be enough power to get me off the ground, and I am going higher. I sure hope you're coming with me, bless God. So then, why doesn't the Lord just take us up? I mean, if all we got to do is just be born again, if all we got to do is just get saved, why doesn't the Lord just, take me, Lord, take me. Beam me up, Scotty. Come on, just take me right now. Why do we wait? Let's continue in 2 Peter, all right? Let me read the rest of this in 2 Peter, chapter 3. Going back to 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse number 8. "But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord really isn't being slow about his promise, as some people think. No. He is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. Since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives you should live." You know what that's saying right there? It's saying, since we have this blessed hope, it should be affecting the way we live. Since we as believers have this hope and have this as part of our faith. I mean, the Lord's return is one of the four basic tenets of the Christian faith. And we talk about his birth. We cover that at Christmas. We talk about his life. We talk about his resurrection. We cover that at Easter. But also a part of that is his return. He's coming back, friends. And since we have that as part of our faith, then it should affect the way we live our life. There's supposed to be a difference between a believer and a non-believer. Hello, somebody. Ronnie, you're starting to step on my toes a little bit. Well, get it out there, brother. Let me go ahead and go all the way with it. Let's not play this morning. Because eternity awaits. Eternity awaits. And you will not be able to use the excuse that I never heard God. When you stand before God, you won't be able to use the excuse, I never heard that I needed to repent. I never had an opportunity. No. The Lord is going to bring you back to that June summer day when some sweaty Mexican was right in front of you telling you that this is the day to get saved. This is the day to turn and repent of your ways. This was the day. I believe wholeheartedly that in these last days, we need to live eternity-driven lives, letting eternity fill our thoughts, which will cause us to go through life with an eternal perspective. We need an eternal perspective. Colossians chapter 3 tells us to seek those things which are above. Set your minds and keep them set on the higher things, not on the things of this earth. See, those who have an eternal perspective and are eternally driven think differently and live differently. C.S. Lewis, I love this quote. He once said, all that is not eternal is eternally useless. If it's not lasting for an eternity, it's eternity useless. See, so that's why the enemy wants to get us consumed with junk that doesn't matter. Just fill our lives with celebrities, media, TV shows, sports. Who's sleeping with who? Well, I heard Brad and Jennifer are getting back together again. Well, who's Taylor Swift dating now? Or I heard Jay-Z and Beyonce having some issues. Who gives a rip about what these people are doing? Does it add to your life one iota? Does it add anything to you at all? No. But some people, they're so consumed about everything else. See, that's what the enemy wants you to do. He says, as long as you're filling your life with all the other stuff out there, you're not filling it with God. You're not seeking those things that are eternal. I remember I used to be a Cowboys fan back when they were good. Mid-90s, that's when I was in high school there. And man, I tell you what, I could go further than just Aikman and Irvin and Emmett. I tell you all about the O-line, Stepnoski, Tuane, Nate Newton, Larry Allen, Daryl Johnston as full. I tell you all the players. I tell you all the stats. And man, when they won, I was excited. You know what I found out as years later coming to the Lord? I found out their victories do not add one thing to my life. It doesn't. You know, Jerry Jones never called me up and asked me what I thought about this particular free agent signing. What about this guy? What about this guy? Hey, Ronnie, I'm thinking about building an AT&T stadium over there. What do you think about that? You understand that this man has never once thought about me. Why is my life going to be consumed with him? Or his product? Hello, somebody. Ronnie, are you saying that sports are bad? No. I'm just saying they are earthly things. And we've been commissioned by God to think higher. Somebody say higher. Higher. Ecclesiastes 3 says he has placed eternity in our hearts. See, when we allow the Spirit of God into our hearts, it makes eternity come alive. Three areas specifically where eternity comes alive. In what drives us, what we pursue, and what we prioritize. I'll say that again for you. When eternity comes alive in your heart, it's going to change what drives you, what you pursue, and what you prioritize. What do you mean by that, Brother Ronnie? Number one, our drive. We will be more concerned with gaining the approval of God instead of man. Be more interested in pleasing God than pleasing man. See, success now won't be defined by the world's standards. It'll be judged by a different standard. There was a man in the Bible whose biggest problem was that he had so much goods. And the Bible records this, he had this conversation with his soul. He said, self, I have so many goods laid up for so many years. What shall I do with all these things? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to build bigger barns for myself. And then I'm going to just take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. See, you know what? The world would consider this guy an utter success. He's made it. He has reached the pinnacle of success in this life according to the world's standards. But then he got visited by an angel that night. And the first words this angel says to him are these two words: "You fool." Isn't it amazing how on one hand the world can call you a success, on that same hand, though God could call you a fool. Why would he be called a fool? Because he had lived this life being driven for only what the world could provide. He had lived his life only following and pursuing what the world could provide. Bible says, what good is it if a man gain the whole world and lose his soul in the process? What good is it if you keep going to school year after year after year, after you get your associates, you want a master's, then you go for your doctorate, and you don't have time for church, you don't have time for your kids, you don't have time to get involved with reaching anybody else, but you got a title pass on the, you got initials at the end of your name, and you're making that money. It's about making that money, right? We got to make those Benjamins. Hello, somebody. I got to be able to max out my IRA. I got to be able to get matching contributions to my 401k. Can I tell you what? What do you think happens to that 401k once you die? Can I tell you what? Your family and everybody else is going to be scrambling, coming together once you leave, and they're going to spend what you spent your whole life trying to gain. It's going to be gone in a moment. You don't believe me it can be gone that fast? Have you seen a woman spend money in a mall? That money will be gone before you even knew what hit it. It's just like that, brother. Just like that. So what should drive you? Is it really about making it in this world and being a success according to this world's standards? See, because when you've made eternity your goal, it changes what drives you. Number two, changes your pursuits. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 tells us, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is a way of death. What we do matters. What we pursue matters. The choices that we make matter. You only have this one life, and then we step right into eternity. We are one heartbeat away from eternity as it stands right now. Every single one of us. Too many take their own paths and then ask God to just bless their steps on top of their pursuits. When part of making Jesus Lord of your life is saying, not my will, but your will be done in my life. I know what I want to pursue, but what do you want me to pursue, God? What is it that you have for me? Can I tell you what? I wholeheartedly, if you don't get anything else, I want you to remember this. Pursue heaven. Pursue heaven. Of all of your pursuits, yeah, go after the education. Fine. Go after the job. Fine. I'm not opposed to education. I'm not opposed to money. I believe you need both of it. Don't do it at the expense of your family, though. Don't do it at the expense of the things that God has given you stewardship over. But number one, above all else, of your pursuits, pursue heaven. Because nobody is going to get to heaven by accident. Let me make sure you understand that. It's not like you're going to be stumbling and, oh, gee whiz, looky there. How did I get there? Surprise, surprise, surprise. No. It is going to be because somebody deliberately, consciously chose to set their course with heaven as their final destination and then decided to line up their life with that goal in mind. See, if you were to live, if you were to drink the Kool-Aid that this world is pouring right now, you would think, why is the way to heaven? And there are many ways to get to God. But that's not what my Bible says. No. My Bible says that there is still only one way to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no myriad of different ways. There is only one way. And it doesn't say, wide is the gate to heaven. As a matter of fact, it says, narrow is the way. And wide is the path to destruction. Few there be that find that way. Hello? She said, Ronnie, why do you look the way you do? Why are you talking to us like this? Because there is a sense of urgency in my soul. Ronnie, why would you get on an airplane? For 10 hours, one leg of the flight. For another 11 hours, another leg of the flight. You understand that I have a family too. I got a beautiful wife. Man, I want to come home to that every night. Bless God. That's some good stuff right there. I'll just leave that alone right there. Won't go any further. I got two kids that I love with all my heart. 11-year-old boy, 9-year-old girl. I want to spend every day of my life with them. I make sure I am a part of everything that I can do when I'm here. What would make somebody board a plane and do these things and go these places that nobody wants to go to? Can I tell you, I don't like Indian food. If you're Indian here, forgive me, all right? That curry just goes right through me. And I can handle some stuff. I mean, we eat menudo, chicharrones, tripas. We eat some stuff, and yet that Indian food, I don't know how it does it. It just, yeah. Use your imagination, bless God. All right. What would make somebody want to see? I take a little bit of extra room on the airplane, all right? I just do. This last time I went to India, man, they sit me. I pick either the aisle or the window. They sit me. And normally Indians are very skinny, frail little people. I mean, they're just little skinny guys over there. Well, this past time over there, I get sat right in the middle of the two fattest Indians you've ever seen in your life. And we're all going to just beef up this row here, I mean, for 10 hours straight. And I would periodically get up and go, and you know, you go to the front over there, and you look over there in first class, and woo, looks nice over there. Those guys, they got pods. They got these pods. If you've ever flown international first class or whatever, they got their private pods, man, with shades on, and they just reclined back all the way. Little pajamas, little slippers, and I'm thinking, oh, dear God, must be nice. Sure would be nice. See, but, you know, when we go to India, typically one crusade could cost anywhere from $50,000 to $75,000. If you've ever tried to get the first-class seats on those, you price them out. Not uncommon for them to run $15,000 to $20,000 for just a seat. So I will gladly keep that half of my budget to go save souls. I know that there are some preachers out there that need $50 million planes to go save souls. Hey, I just go. If I have to go in coach, I will go in coach and have to sit in between those guys in order to go save some souls. Because that's what I want to pursue. That's my pursuit. Eternity has made me change my pursuits. I don't pursue comfort or convenience. I pursue souls. I pursue heaven. Because I know one day I'm going to stand before my Jesus and I'm going to give an account for my life. And you know what? So are you. So are you. And so what are we going to be able to show for it? Number three, eternity changes what drives us. Eternity changes what we pursue. But it also changes what we prioritize. Bible says in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, it is the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes shall be saved, but he that believes, see, this is what drives me. He that believeth not shall be damned. Well, Ronnie, that doesn't make me feel comfortable right there. We don't talk like that in our churches here today. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Because here's what's going to happen. That trumpet is going to sound at any moment now. That trumpet is going to sound. We're going to hear that shout, and we're going to hear that trumpet. And then people are going to be going up, up, up. Bible says two will be in the field. One will be left, and one will be going. Two will be in a bed. One will be left. One will be going. Two will be left, and none going if those two people are unmarried. Hello, somebody. Let me tell you something on that. There is no woman worth missing heaven for. Or man. Thank you, Miss Rhonda. Well, Brother Ronnie, we're just experiencing some tough times right now. And my boyfriend told me that he would take me and my son in and so we could save up a little bit money. And we don't sleep or anything together. Sometimes we have game nights. And, you know, we're good Parcheesi buddies. And it doesn't go any further than that, Brother Ronnie. You're a liar.
was once heard about this gentleman who was preaching this service, Holy Ghost service. I mean, people are getting healed left and right, calling people out by words of knowledge. I mean, he's reading people's mail in this whole service. And then this couple comes up at the end of the service and says, "You offended us because we're not married, but yet we do live together." And so this man of God says to them, "I want you to stand on this altar where you have seen the Spirit of God just heal and deliver and break all of these chains from all these other people. I want you to get on that altar and swear to me that you and this man, even though you live together, you don't sleep together. Swear to me that, or I'm going to pray, if you're lying, that the Lord strike you right there on that altar." That woman said, "Okay, occasionally we sleep together." Hey, friend, you can do what you want. Because, you know, everyone says now, aren't we supposed to not judge? I mean, who are you to judge? Hey, you do what you want. I'm here to speak the truth in love. And if you're going to be out there breaking the commandments of God, sin is still a sin. The world may try to mix it up a little bit and create all these 50 shades of gray out there, but there is still black and white, right and wrong. What is of the command of God as right and what is in his sight as a sin. And I would, see, the Bible says in the last days there would be a strong deception, a spirit of deception sweeping the land. And if we're not careful, that same spirit, it's already crept into churches now. Where I've never heard of this before. Where churches now ordaining people of the same sex, doing these same sex marriages. And, this just because a man decides now that it's not going to be called sin anymore doesn't mean God's ever changed his mind. And if you do not want to be left, I suggest wholeheartedly, again, let me tell you, there is no man, no woman worth missing heaven for. It's not worth it, friend. It's not worth it. You say, "But Brother Ronnie, it's hard for me. It's tough times." Let's believe God together. Believe God. God has never left the righteous forsaken. He will not leave you begging for bread. He's not going to just, if he takes care of the lilies of the field and the fowls of the air, I'm sure he could take care of your situation. Amen. When I was in Zimbabwe this past time here, just a month ago, I got done preaching the tent crusade. I come to my hotel. I'm finishing up here. The Lord's about to just do something mighty here. Let me just close up with this here. Praise God. There's such a strong conviction in this place right now. I preached the crusade. I'm tired. I'm sweaty. I come to my hotel. All I want is water, because you can't pay me to drink that faucet water there. So I go to the little cafe and pay for my bottled water, but they don't have it there. They said, "We ran out. You'll have to go, you pay right here, and you have to go over there to the bar, into the bar to go get your water." I don't hang out at bars. And I don't like the way it looks. Preacher going into bar. And this was a nice hotel establishment here now, because we're already getting finished with things here. And so I didn't want to be seen, but I wanted my water, bless God. So I just go. I'm not there 30 seconds. And there is this chick right there at the end of the bar. Looks like she's just, that's her corner right there at the end of the bar right there. As she looks at me, as I'm saying, "Sir, I paid for my water over there. Can you please give me my bottle of water?" He goes to go and get it. And while he's over there getting that, this woman just checking me out like I'm some piece of fried chicken over here. Just like, Woo! She's just doing the number on me. And she tells me real sweetly, "Hi, I'm Danielle. What's your name?" I said, goodbye, I'm gone. I left her right then and there. Doesn't need to go any further. Ronnie, that's rude. Hey, that's right. I'd rather be right. I don't care if it's rude. See, that's what the enemy wants you to do. It wants you to take a second glance. It wants you to go just a little bit. See, just talk to her a little bit. Do you not know? Nobody just stumbles right there. Nobody just wakes up. How did I get here in somebody else's bedroom? How did I get here with this person that's not my wife, not my husband? How did I ever get here? You took it a little bit further than what you were supposed to do. And God is calling us in these last days to raise the standard. World was quick to judge Vice President Mike Pence when he came out and said, I won't go have lunch with anybody, no woman, if my wife is not present. And the world criticized him, mocked him, made fun of him. That's that old Billy Graham rule, you know. And why are you doing that? That's from the 50s. That's old fashioned. Can I tell you what? Holiness has never gone out. It's never been done away with. Well, brother, we're under grace right now. Grace does not give you an empowerment to sin or a permission to sin. No, no, no. Grace gives you the ability to overcome sin. Any teaching on grace that makes you feel more comfortable in your sin is a false teaching on grace. Stomp on that toe just a little bit more. Everybody, if you don't mind, why don't you stand up with me just a moment? Because here's what I know in my heart. I know y'all are here in this fine church building looking pretty. I know what it's like to play church. I know how to get by with the Christian lingo of God bless you, pray for me, looking all pretty, dress up, Sunday best. But inside, in your soul, you know in your heart, things aren't 100% right. That's what I do. And this is why I know about the Holy Ghost. And you may say, well, Brother Ronnie, you're in a great church on a Sunday morning. I know that even on a Sunday morning, even the devil knows Scripture. Even the devil knows how to get into these places. And here's what I want you to remember is that we are one heartbeat from eternity. Are you ready for it? Because if you're not 100% ready, what is holding you back? Is it a person? Is it a situation? It's time to leave it at the altar here today. Every eye closed, every head bowed. At this holy moment right now, between me, you, and God. That's all that matters. It's me, you, and God. I ask you, are you 100% ready to seek Jesus? Are you living the way that you should? Or are there things in your life that you need to get right? That maybe you're not 100% confident in? Because I've been sent here. Again, I'm not trying to book a speaking engagement. I'm here to warn you. I'm here to be a voice shouting. There's danger up ahead. The road is not good. And I want you to turn and get onto another road. If that's you, and you'd say, Brother Ronnie, I want you to pray for me. I want to give my life to Jesus, or I need forgiveness for my sins, and I want to make things right here today. You've been talking to me. I've been convicted by the Spirit of God, and I want to get things right. If that's you, and you know that I'm talking to you, and I know that there are several of you, I want you to raise up your hand nice and tall right now, right where I can see you. See, I see it here on the left. I see it in the middle. I see it all the way in the back. I see it over here on the right side. I see your hands. I see you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, here's what you got to do, because I want to lay my hands on you. You need to be bold enough, get out of your seat right now and meet me up at the front here today. Get out of your seat and come. Come, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise as people come forward here today. Today's the day to get things right with God. Today's the day old things get passed away and everything gets made brand new. Today's the day. Today's your day. Today's the day of salvation. You're not going to be left behind. No, no, no. You're not going to be left behind. Today is your day. Yes, thank you. Come. I'll wait for you.
Man, there ain't no cafeteria food that I'm trying to get to. This is the most important thing that's going to be happening in my day all day today. So I'm taking my time with it. I wait for you. Come, sir. I wait for you. Praise God. Most important thing that's going to be done here. Amen. And then I'd encourage some of y'all to go ahead and go get baptized right after this. Amen. Why don't everybody that's here, I want you to raise up both hands unto God. I have you raise up your hands because what you're about to receive, no man can give you. It does not come from me. It comes from God. I want to pray this prayer. I want you to repeat the words of this prayer. Repeat it with strong conviction. Say, Father God, I come to you today in need of a Savior. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. I believe that he shed his blood for me, and that if I would call upon him, he would answer me and come into my heart. Today I ask for forgiveness of all my sins. I leave it at the altar. I ask you to come into my heart and change me. I give you lordship today. From this day forward, I am a Christian. I am righteous. I am holy. And I will live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Now keep your hands raised. Shaka mama maso. Keep your hands raised right now. Because what I'm going to pray right now is that, see, you not only need to be born of the Spirit. You need the Spirit upon you to live in these days. I'm going to pray a Holy Ghost baptism on you right here, right now. And let God's fire fill you right now. Fill you right now. Right where you're at. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus. Everyone who's prayed this prayer. Everyone who's made this vow here today. May you now seal this vow right now with a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. Fill each and every one right now. In the name of Jesus, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Baptism right now. In the name of Jesus, receive right now. In the name of Jesus, Shikama. In the name of Jesus. Oh, you have a anointing right there, sister. There's a strong anointing right there. In the name of Jesus, receive right now. In the name of Jesus, Holy Ghost, fill right now. In the name of Jesus, receive right now. In the name of Jesus, be filled. Be filled. There you go, right there, brother. Use these hands. Anoint those hands right now. In the name of Jesus, be filled right now. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, filled right now with the Holy Ghost and fire. Oh, ho, 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 ho. Shikama ma soul. Now you knew of your calling already. You knew of it. This day confirms it. This day confirms it. What God has placed in your heart right now, today, gets birthed anew. And you will walk in it today from this day forward, never the same again. In Jesus' name, be filled, be filled, be filled right now from head to toe. In the name of Jesus. In the name, oh, she, oh, shaka. Yeah, there you go. Shaka, ma, 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 so. Shaka, la, 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 ma, so. In the name of Jesus. Shaka, ma, ma, ma. In the name of Jesus. Be filled from head to toe by the power of God. In the name of Jesus. Feel the fresh and the new.
There's
a
no
fresh,
shadow you won't
a fresh,
light up.
A new in the name of Jesus. Be filled right now from head to toe. In the name of Jesus. In the name
no
of Jesus.
You
be filled right
down.
Now. Use those hands, Lord. Right there. Mighty, mighty hands. In the name of Jesus. Be filled right now. By the Spirit
there's
of God.
No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me, oh, the overwhelming.
Let me call you out right now. Everybody that needs a healing in their body, everybody that needs a healing in their body, place your hands where you are suffering, right where you stand. Wherever it may be, if it's your head, if it's your legs, if it's your back, wherever it may be. And we're going to loose the power of God right here, right now. The healing anointing of God right now gets released into your body right where you lay your hands.
I've seen this happen in crusades all over the world. We can't lay hands on thousands of people. What we do is this prayer right here, and it works just the same. Because the Bible says, believers shall lay hands. Well, who's a believer here? If you believe in it, lay your hands where you're suffering. Right here, right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that wherever my friends are laying their hands right now in their bodies, they're at this very moment, sickness be rebuked. All sorts of infirmity, spirit of infirmity, be rebuked right now. Be broken right now in the name of Jesus. Let life go into these bodies. Healing right now into these bodies. Oh, there you go. There you go. I fell right there. A back. There's somebody with a back issue. Begin to bend. Begin to bend. Begin to move up and down. You're going to see that loosen up. Right now in the name of Jesus, be healed. Be healed. Be filled. Be healed. In the name of Jesus. Now do something you couldn't do before. If you couldn't walk with pain, I dare you to do a walk. I dare you to stomp. If your legs were hurting you, I dare you to go ahead and try to find that pain. Because in this atmosphere where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And there's people being freed right here, right now, in Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. God is so good. And if I had time, man, we could just make a healing service and two healing testimonies. But I'm going to pass it over to Pastor Parkey here. And I want to just say the healing anointing here has already been administered to you. So receive it. Many times, it's later on during the day, as you go. Bible says, talking about blind men, when they were healed, it was as they went, they were healed. So I encourage you, check it out the rest of the day. God bless you. Thank you so much for allowing me to bring the word.
All of you that are down here, Bill, come here, Bill. You guys follow Bill out if you gave your life to the Lord today. Bill, take them right back to the Will Hyatt prayer room. Just go right there with him. I need some ladies to go with the ladies, okay? All right, you guys just follow Bill right there, the guy in the red shirt. He's going to minister to you, give you some things. Ronnie, thank you, brother. Praise God. Ronnie, would you and your wife stand right here? Do you mind? Bring that over here. I want to bless Ronnie. I want to just take a couple of minutes to bless him. Let's stretch our hands out toward him. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this couple that you're using mightily. I'm so grateful for a young couple that preaches the uncompromising word. Pray that you would use them and open doors for them. Pray that the key of David will rest in their hands. And Lord, that you will let them into doors that have been previously locked before to other people. And God, as they go there, I know they'll minister and they'll do what you tell them to do. I give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I want to take just a couple of minutes to bless Ronnie and his wife financially. Because, you know, he does this. This is what he does. And he just trusts God. He told me, he said, Pastor, I'm not asking for anything when I come. I just want to be there. And so I want to bless him. Ronnie, if they make out a check, would you want to make it to Capstone? We do one, or you want to do it to Ronnie Gonzalez? Okay. All right. I'm going to let your wife hold that. Y'all just turn around and face everybody. We're going to take a couple of minutes. Ronnie, if you got a check and you want to make it out, just make it out to Ronnie Gonzalez Ministries, okay? And I want to take a minute just to bless them. Then we'll go in 2 minutes. The quicker you can do this and give to them, the faster we'll be able to go and break and start rejoicing with baptizing. Go ahead. You're free to give and thank them and bless them as you do it. If you want to do it online, we'll write Ronnie a check. You just do it online in the capstone number and just put special behind it. Do your amount, put special behind it, and we'll know that goes to Ronnie. It's been a great morning, and it's been great to have you here. Thank you for staying and just receiving the Word of God. I just rejoice in everybody that gave their heart to the Lord today. And so I'm just going to release you today. You guys have a great morning. Stay after and eat lunch if you'd like. And we love you. We're baptizing. Pastor Bob's going downstairs to baptize. Have a great week. We'll see you Wednesday.